بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our fourth session, reading from أثر القرآن في إصلاح القلوب, يعني the impact or the effect of the Quran in the rectification of the hearts by الشيخ الدكتور سليمان الرحيلي. And as we mentioned, يعني in the first session, the Sheikh Ibrahim Sheikh Sulaiman Al-Rahili, he is a professor at the Islamic University of Medina, and he is also a teacher in the Masjid An-Nabawi, the Prophet's Masjid in Medina, and he is the Imam Al-Khatib of Masjid Al-Quba, also in Medina. 2 weeks ago, in our third session, we talked about the conditions that are necessary in order for the effect or the impact of the Qur'an to occur upon the heart. And I guess we'll go back just a little bit since we had a break. For the Eid, I just mentioned that the Shaykh, in his introduction, he started out by laying the groundwork for this topic, the impact or the effect of the Qur'an in the rectification, the rebuilding or reformation of the hearts. He said that, number one, that the human being has been created, this is the first point, the human being has been created to be a khalifa in the earth. Yani, one who will come and settle and cultivate the earth with the greatest cultivation, and that is the establishment of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point the Shaykh made is that the human being has, Allah has placed in the human being a piece of flesh, which if it is whole and sound, the whole body will be whole and sound, and if it is corrupted, the whole body will be corrupted, and that is the heart. These are the two foundations that the Shaykh began with. That is, the human being has been placed in the earth to establish Tawheed, and that the human being has a piece of flesh in the body which determines the whole affair. If that piece of flesh is whole and sound and healthy, then the rest of the body and one's actions will be likewise. And the opposite is also true. The Shaykh also mentioned that the hearts are of two types. There's a healthy heart and there's a sick heart. He mentioned ayahs from the Quran concerning this. And then he mentioned two hadith, which I think is worthy of repeating, which shows the importance of the heart. The first hadith is the hadith reported by Imam Muslim and others from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila surikum wa amwalikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa amalikum." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't look at your outward forms, yani your physical shapes, or your wealth or properties, but rather Allah looks at the hearts. He looks at your hearts and your actions, the actions which result from the heart. If the heart is whole, clean, and pure, then the actions will be likewise. This shows the importance of the heart and the importance of the actions that come forth from a healthy and whole and sound heart, and that the outward forms and appearance of the human beings and one's possessions and wealth have no real bearing on the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us. The second hadith that the Shaykh mentioned is a hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmed on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and Shaykh al-Bani in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahiha said that this hadith is Hasan. لا يستقيم إمام عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the iman, the faith of any human being, will not be upright, it will not be correct, unless and until the heart, unless that person's heart is upright and correct. After this, the Shaykh made the third point, which we dealt with in the second session, and that is that the human being has not known in history anything that is more effective in rectification and purification of the heart or of the human being or of the society than the Qur'an which is the speech of Allah, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down upon the most noble of His prophets and messengers, the seal of the prophets, the greatest of the awliya, that is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentioned ayat from the Qur'an, 10 ayat from the Qur'an which mention the characteristics or the qualities of the Qur'an due to which the heart is reformed, is rectified, is repaired, is fixed. And he mentioned from amongst those ayats, which we actually dealt with in some detail, the tafsir of those ayats, That which shows that the Quran has been sent down in the Arabic language so that people will understand, so they will comprehend and be able to act upon it. The Quran has been sent down full of blessings so that the people may reflect upon its ayat. And the Quran has been sent down to be followed. And that one should observe taqwa in reference to that which it contains of commands and prohibitions, that mercy may be yani given to them. The Quran, the Shaykh also mentioned ayats which show that the Quran is such that its effect is so great that if it was sent down upon a mountain, it would cause the mountain to tremble and to crumble. Now what about the heart of the human being? The Quran has been sent down as tibyan li kulli shay'in, as a clarification of every matter, and as a guidance and a rahmah, and a good news for the believers. And that the Quran has been sent down to, yani for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by it to remove the people from darkness into light. And the Quran also is a healing, shifa'un, for that which is in the chest, yani, and the hearts, and a rahmah, and a guidance for the believers. These are some of the ayats, or some of the qualities or characteristics that the Shaykh mentioned concerning those things due to which the Quran is the greatest means of yani rectification, mending, and repairing the hearts. After this, yani in our third session 2 weeks ago, the Shaykh mentioned that the Quran is a healing, and it's a guidance, and it's a rahmah, and all of these things, but with a condition. يعني مشروط بشرط عظيم. It has a great condition that is understood from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qaf, the 50th Surah, 37th Ayat, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمَعَ وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat in Surah Al-Qaf that indeed in that, يعني in that which the Quran contains, is a reminder, a dhikra. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, for the one who has a heart, a living, yani a heart that is alive and well and receptive, or the one who has yani given his ear, yani listened attentively, وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ, while he is heedful of that which he hears. And the Shaykh dealt with this ayat in some depth, and some of the sayings of the scholars will show that the heart must be alive, it must be well, it must be healthy, it must be ready and willing to receive the message. The person must listen attentively and they must heed, yani, that which they hear from the Quran. The Shaykh mentioned some of the sayings of some of the scholars, Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Qutaybah, which show that, yani, if there is a receptacle, a heart that is alive and healthy and well and receptive to the message of the Quran, and if the human being gives ear, listens attentively to that which is being recited or being read from the Quran, and the person is heedful, yani is willing to comply with what one hears from the Quran, then the Quran will be effective, yani, in the rectification of the heart, the mending of the heart, the fixing of the heart, and putting it in a position, yani, to benefit the human being, to fulfill the objective for which we have been placed in the earth, that is the establishment of at-tawheed. After this, we mentioned in that third session one point from the impact or the effects of the Quran or the human being, and we summarize it by saying that the Shaykh said, from the effects, the greatness of the effect of the Quran, or the greatest effect or impact of the Quran on the hearts, is in the establishment of at-tawheed. Yani the Quran, if a person reads the Quran and reviews and reflects upon and ponders with understanding the ayat that mentioned at-tawheed, the ayat that mentioned the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah, and the person believes in that which the Quran has been revealed with of tawheed, and yani applies those meanings to oneself, then a person would come to a certain realization or a knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will fill the heart with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. After this, we want to mention some of the other effects that the Quran, yani some of the other effects or impact that the Quran has on the heart, in terms of islah, yani the mending or the restoration or reparation, rectification of the heart. The second point that the Shaykh made, and this is what we're going to start with today, And that is, he said, يَعْظُمُ أَثَرُ الْأَثَرُ فِي الْقَلْبِ إِذَا انْضَمَّ إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ مَعْرِفَةِ رُسُلِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني that the effect of the Quran on the heart is magnified, it is increased, if we join to the first point, that is the ma'rifa, the knowing, having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge of tawheed, if we join to that, or bring together with that, knowledge and acquaintance with the messengers of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowing the messengers of Allah. وَمَعْرِفَةَ أَحْوَالِهِمْ وَمَا جَرَى عَلَيْهِمْ مَا مَنْ وَافَقَهُمْ وَمَا مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ وَمَا هُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ الْعَالِيَةِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ الْكَرِيمَةِ. Yeah, if we join to this knowledge contained in the Quran of At-Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the names and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge and acquaintance with the messengers of Allah, and knowing about the state of their affairs and what occurred to them, with those who agreed with them, yani those who believed in them and followed them, and with those who opposed them, who disobeyed them and disbelieved in them. This knowledge of the messengers and the state of their affairs and what occurred to them with those who agreed with them and those who opposed them, along with having knowledge of what yani they were described with, of sifat al-aliya, yani lofty characteristics, and al-akhlaq al-karima, and noble character and morals. If a person, the heart, has knowledge of this from the Book of Allah, from the Quran, then the fruit, or that which would come forth as a result of this knowledge in the heart, is love for the messengers of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, if a person has knowledge of the messengers, and knowledge of their qualities and characteristics, and lofty character and morals, then the result of this will be an increased amount of love for the messengers, which would lead to taking them as a model for one's character, and it would also lead to acting upon the righteous actions that the prophets and messengers yani acted upon. This knowledge of the messengers and of the state of their affairs and their actions and their qualities and characteristics, yani the result of it is love, a great love for them in the heart, and taking them as a model to be followed, and therefore the heart of the one who loves them would have a tremendous or a great portion of the same righteousness and piety and uprightness that's in the hearts of the messengers, in accordance with their love for them and their taking them as an example and model to be followed. That is, yani the more that the people know the prophets and messengers, the more that they know about their qualities and characteristics and morals, the more they know about their acts of worship and their behavior, the more they would have love for them. And the more the person has love for the prophets and messengers, the more that they would follow them and take them as an example. And this will have a tremendous effect on the rectification and the reformation and the mending of the hearts of the human being. Then the Shaykh, he says, yani in addition to this, the best of the prophets and messengers and the most noble of them is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore, having knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and knowledge about his state of affairs, and knowledge about his akhlaq, his character, manners, and morals, the fruit of this is that it will increase yani the amount of uprightness or righteousness of the hearts of that person yani who has knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it also will increase a great amount of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the heart of that person, and this will lead to taking him as an example and following him truthfully by taking his guidance as guidance in one's affairs. Yani love, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing the state of his affairs, knowing his akhlaq, his character and manners and morals and qualities, this affects the heart. Yani brings about uprightness and righteousness of the heart, and it increases or it develops a great amount of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which leads to one taking him as the example to be followed and following him by following his guidance. This is the second point of the impact of the Qur'an on the rectification of the heart, and that is, yani, that the person knows the prophets and messengers, knows the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knows their characteristics and qualities, and therefore is increased in love for them and following them and taking them as an example in our own lives. The third affair that the Shaykh mentions, which leads to making the heart to be good and to be upright and to be set in order, to repair it, to mend it, is knowing, having knowledge of the Ahlu As-Sa'ada wal-Khayr. Yani, the effect of the Qur'an or the impact of the Qur'an on the heart is magnified when a person has knowledge of the people of As-Sa'ada and Khair, the people of good fortune. Yani, the people who will be fortunate in this world and the next, and who earn the pleasure of Allah and enter His paradise. The people of As-Sa'ada and the people of Al-Khair, knowing about them and their conditions and their states in this world and in the next life. Fil akhirah wa fil ula. Yani, in the next life, what will be their condition? And in this life, what will be their condition? And likewise, having knowledge of, being acquainted with Ahlu al-Shaqawa wa al-Shar. Yani, the people of misfortune and misery. Yani, the unfortunate ones, the people of disbelief and disobedience, who will be unfortunate in this world and will be unfortunate in the next life, due to entering the punishment of Allah, yani, in the hereafter. Having knowledge of these two groups of people, the people of Sa'ada and the people of Shaqawa, the people who will be fortunate and the people who are unfortunate, who will be miserable, who will be wretched, yani, who will be punished in this world and punished in the next life. This also has a tremendous impact or impression on the heart, yani, on mending and the rectification of the heart, knowing the two types of people and their conditions in this life and in the next life. وَفِي مَعْرِفَةِ الْقَلْبِ لِأَهْلِ السَّعَادَةِ وَلِأَوْصَافِهِمْ وَلِأَحْوَالِهِمْ وَلِتُرُقَ الَّتِي أَوْصَلَتْهِمْ لِلسَّعَادَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْمَنْزِلَ الْعَالِيَةِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ تَرْغِيبٌ لِلْقَلْبِ فِي أَفْعَالِهِمْ وَفِي أَهْوَالِهِمْ وَفِي مَحَبَّةِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَالْاِقْتِدَى بِهِمْ. And the Shaykh says that here, that in being acquainted, the heart being acquainted and having knowledge of the people of good fortune, yani the people who believe and obey the prophets and messengers, who believe in Allah and obey the prophets and messengers, knowing about these people, knowing about their characteristics and qualities, knowing about their state of affairs, and knowing about the paths or the roads which led them to this state of good fortune in this world. Knowing about the paths or the roads that led them to this state of good fortune in this world and to the lofty, high stations in the next life. This is an encouragement to the heart to take on the actions of these people, the people of good fortune, the believers, the obedient ones, to take on their actions and to try to, yani, be in the same state that they are in this world and in the next. Yani, this will lead to loving the righteous and it will lead to following them. Knowing about the people of Sa'ada, yani, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has treats them in this world, yani, how Allah supports them and aids them, and defends them and protects them and provides for them, and knowing about their lofty stations in the next life, the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them in the paradise. Knowing about this is indeed an encouragement that causes the heart to be inclined to the actions and to the conditions of the people of good fortune, the people of Sa'ada, and loving the righteous and taking them as a model to be followed. And when we read about the followers of the prophets and messengers of the past, when we read about the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided and supported them in this world and the reward that He promised them in the next life, this is indeed a targhib, an encouragement that inclines the heart to act like those people, to be like those people, to love those people, and to take them as a model to be followed. In a similar fashion, ma'rifat ahwal ahli shar wa manazilihim wa turq allati awsalatum lishar wa su'a halihim fid dunya وسوء حالهم في الآخرة معرفة القلب هذا تثمر بغضا لهم وبغضا لترائكهم وبعدا عنهم وبعدا عن صفاتهم. يعني being acquainted with and knowing about the state of affairs of the أهل الشر, the people of evil, and knowing about the status and the stations of these people, and knowing about the roads, the paths which led them to evil and led them to an evil condition in this world and an evil condition in the next life. The heart being acquainted with this knowledge of these people and their conditions in this world and their condition in the next life, the fruit of this is that the human being and the heart will have hatred for these people, the disbelievers and the people of disobedience. The heart will have hatred for these people and hatred for the paths, the roads, the ways of these people. And it will also cause the heart to be distanced from these people and distanced from their characteristics and qualities and their actions. وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمْ مَا يُوصِلَ الْعَبْدِ إِلَى دَارَ النَّعِيمِ وَيُنْجِيهِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهِ مِنْ دَارَ الْجَحِيمِ وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أَثَرُ الْقُرْآنِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. So the Shaykh says, yani, from the greatest of the things that would lead a person to Dar al-Na'im, to the paradise, the home of bounty and blessings and the favor of Allah, وَيُنْجِيهِ اللَّهِ بِهِ, and due to which Allah would save a person from Dar al-Jaheem, from the hellfire, from the greatest of the means that leads a person to the paradise and due to which Allah saves them from the hellfire, yani, is having knowledge of the people of Sa'ada, the people of good fortune, the believers, and having knowledge of the people of Shaqawa, the people of misfortune, the people of misery, the disbelievers and the disobedient, and knowing their conditions in this world and their conditions of the hereafter. This is from the greatest things that will have an impact, that the Quran has an impact upon the hearts of the servants, is due to this knowledge of the people that Allah will be pleased with and the people that Allah is displeased with, the people that Allah will reward in this life and in the next life, and the people that Allah will punish both in this world and in the hereafter. The fourth matter that the Shaykh mentions, yani, from those things that cause the heart to be put in order, to be set aright, to be mended, to be repaired, to be rectified. The fourth matter that the Shaykh mentions is وَيَصْلُحُ الْقَلْبُ. The heart is set right بالقرآن, by the Quran, بأن يعلم منه العبد أن العبرة بصدق الإيمان والصلاح الأعمال لا بدعاوى اللسان واتباع الهوى والشيطان. That from those things that cause the rectification of the heart by means of the Quran is that the person comes to know from the Quran that what is consequential, what really matters, yani, what is of importance, is that one has sincere iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteous deeds. Yani, what matters is a person's truthfulness and sincerity in their iman, not just claiming iman on the tongue, but having sincere iman and having righteous actions. That this is what really matters, this is what really counts, this is what is of consequence or importance, not just da'awi al-lisan, claims on the tongue, wattiba' al-hawa wa-shaytan, while following one's desires and following a shaytan. Yani, the claim of iman on the tongue that is not supported by sincere, truthful iman and righteous actions, but rather that claim is, yani, is a claim that's made while a person is following their desires and while they are following shaitan, this claim is of no significance, it is of no importance, it is of no consequence. What matters is iman and righteous deeds. So the Quran guides the person to this matter, yani, that the ibrah, what really counts, is husni حال الإنسان, a person's good state of affairs, وإيمانه الصحيح, and his correct, right, يعني authentic, legitimate, valid إيمان, وعمله الصالح, and his righteous deeds. يعني the Quran guides us to this reality that what really matters is the person's good condition, their correct iman, and their righteous actions. And the Quran also guides the people to the fact that الدعاوى المجردة, that mere baseless claims to iman, claims to righteousness, claims to being yani of the people that are beloved to Allah. Yani الدعاوى المجردة, just baseless claims, والاغترار, and being deluded or deceived or conceited due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving a person whatever he wills in this dunya. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give a person something of the worldly matters. Yani الرياسات, yani leadership. والأمور الدنيوية, and yani worldly benefits. والتقاليد الموروثة, and just yani ideas that the people have inherited in their society and from their culture that makes them believe without any basis, makes them believe that they are better than someone else or that they are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the ways of the people of deviation who have deviated from the truth, and this doesn't produce any good and it doesn't bring forth the truth. The human being, the Shaykh says, the human being is the one who knows best himself. And the human being is the doctor of his own affair, yani one that has to treat himself. Yani everyone knows their self, the reality of their self, and therefore they are the one who is best to treat their affair, to be a doctor to one's own sicknesses. So if you want, O Abdullah, if you want to know حقيقتك عند الله, the reality of your position with Allah, فانظر إلى حقيقة الإيمان في قلبك ومنزلة العمل الصالح في قلبك ومنزلتك من الصالحات. Yani whoever wants to know the reality of their self, then they merely have to look at the reality, yani they merely have to look at the reality of their iman. What is the condition of the iman that's in their heart? They have to look at منزلة العمل الصالح في قلبك, yani what is the station or the status of righteous deeds in your heart? Yani how does your heart yani look at righteous deeds? Does your heart have a place in it? Yani a high station or status for doing righteous deeds? Rather, what is your own position towards righteous deeds? What is your view of righteous deeds? What is the reality of the iman in your heart? And how, yani what is the station or the status of doing righteous deeds? Is this something of importance or not? So the Quran makes this matter clear to us, and from amongst the ayat of the Quran that make this matter clear, if a person wants to know their reality, then they merely have to look at the condition of iman in their heart and the station or the status of righteous deeds, how they view it and how they consider it. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Saba, 34th surah, 37th ayat. وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَى إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الضِّعْفِ بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَهُمْ فِي الْغُرُفَاتِ آمِنُونَ. Yani the apparent meaning of this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that it is not your amwal, your wealth, it is not your awlad, your children, that brings you near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather it is yani the one who believes and the one who does righteous deeds. These are those who will have a reward that is multiplied due to what they used to do. Yani their reward will be multiplied due to what they used to do. And these are those who will be in al-ghurufat, yani high dwellings in Jannah. Aminin, safe and secure. Some of the scholars of Tafsir said that these Ghurufat, it means Al-Manazil Al-Aliyat, high stations, Al-Murtafi'at Jiddan, which are raised very high. And they will be in these high lofty dwellings, Aminuna, yani safe and secure. Safe and secure min al-mard wal-maut wa kulli makruh wa min al-khuruj minha wa min al-huzni fiha. Yani that those people who are in these places will be safe and secure from sickness, and safe and secure from death, and safe and secure from every hated and disliked affair, and safe from being removed from Jannah, and safe from having any sorrow or grief while in the Jannah. It is not your wealth or your children that brings you near to Allah. Rather, it is your iman and your righteous deeds. The people of iman and righteous deeds, these are the people whose reward will be multiplied due to which they did. And these are the people that would be in the high dwellings in paradise, safe and secure. After this, the Shaykh mentions a hadith that's reported by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah. And it's a lengthy hadith mentioned in the book of Dhikr and Dua in Sahih Muslim. The chapter of gathering for the recitation of the Quran and the remembrance of Allah. At the end of that hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ talks about the gatherings of the people in the masajid for the remembrance of Allah, the recitation of the Quran, the remembrance of Allah, and the angels descending upon them, and the mercy of Allah, yani enveloping them. The Prophet ﷺ, in the end of the hadith, he said, وَمَنْ بَطَّعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. Yani the end of a lengthy hadith, the point that the Shaykh is making, yani is the end of that hadith. مَنْ بَطَّعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ. Yani whoever is slowed down by his actions, لَمْ يُسْرِ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. He will not be hastened forward by his lineage, by his family background. Whoever is slowed down by his actions will not be hastened forward due to his noble, yani, family lineage. Some of the scholars said the meaning of this hadith is that من كان عمله ناقصا لم يلحقه بمرتبة أصحاب الأعمال. Yani whoever's deeds are defective, such that it will not enable that person to reach the levels of the people who are doing much good deeds. Yani their deeds were naqisan, defective, such that it didn't enable them to reach high levels of the people who did good deeds, much good deeds. فَيَنْبَغِي أَلَّا يَتَّقِلْ عَلَى شَرْفَ النَّسَبْ وَفَضِيلَةُ الْآبَىٰ وَيُقَصِّرْ فِي الْعَمَلِ. Then it is incumbent upon that person, and whose deeds are defective, that they do not depend upon, rely upon, or put their trust in their noble lineage, because they come from a famous tribe or an important family, or the virtue or excellence of their fathers, meaning their ancestors. They should not rely upon this. They should not put their trust in this, and therefore fall short in doing deeds. Because in fact, yani, a person who falls short in doing good deeds will not be hastened forward just because they come from an important tribe or an important family, or because their ancestors, yani, were people considered to be great. Rather, what really matters is a person's iman and righteous deeds. The Shaykh says, لا يقربك من الله شرف رئاسة ولا ساعة في الدنيا. That you will not be brought near to Allah due to the honor of being a leader in the society, or due to the honor of having plenty of wealth in this world. إنما يقربك من الله إيمان صادق وعمل صالح تكون به من أولياء الله سبحانه وتعالى. That actually what brings you near to Allah is truthful, sincere iman and righteous deeds, due to which a person becomes one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani what brings you near to Allah and that entitles you to be included amongst the awliya of Allah is that a person has what? Truthful, sincere iman and righteous deeds. فلا يغتر بدعاوى ولا يركن إليها من غير إيمان صادق وعمل صالح إلا الأشقياء المنحرفون. So no one يعني is deceived or deluded by baseless claims, nor does anyone rely upon those baseless claims without having sincere iman and without having righteous deeds. Nobody does so except the ashqiya, yani the ahlu shaqawa, the people yani of misfortune, the people of misery and wretchedness, the disbelievers and the disobedient, the deviants, yani who Allah is displeased with and who will be punished by Allah in this world and the next. Nobody relies upon yani just mere claim unless yani that claim has some basis, that is sincere iman and righteous actions. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla has said concerning the Yahud and the Nasara, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدُخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. They said, no one will ever enter the paradise except the one who is a Jew or a Christian. يعني, the meaning of this ayat is that يعني, the Jews of Medina and the Christians of Najran, when they came to the Prophet ﷺ, the Jews claimed that nobody will enter paradise except Jews. And the Christians claimed nobody will enter paradise except Christians. Yani each of them claiming that yani they are the only people that are going to enter paradise. And Allah responds to them saying, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. This is only their wishful thinking. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْحَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah says to the Prophet, say to them, bring your proof if indeed you are telling the truth. Yani that you are the only people that will enter paradise. Yani tilka amaniyuhum, this is only their amani. Yani this is their shahawat al-batila, their false, baseless desires that is leading them to believe that they are the only people that will enter the paradise. The Shaykh says, فَلَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى بِالْبُرْحَانِ. Rather, no one will enter the Jannah except the one who comes with a burhan. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْحَانَكُمْ. Bring your proof, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. So no one will enter the paradise except the person who brings the burhan, and the burhan هو الإيمان الصادق والعمل الصالح. The burhan, the proof that supports a person's claim, will be sincere, truthful iman and righteous actions. In the following ayat, in Surah Al-Baqarah, 112th ayat, the previous ayat is 111, and the following ayat Allah says, بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That indeed, مَنْ أَسْلَمَ, only those who have surrendered, أَسْلَمَ وَجَهُ, yani surrendered his whole self for Allah, doing his deeds purely for the sake of Allah. وَهُوَ مُحْسِن, and he is a person of ihsan, yani meaning the person who does his deeds sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, and does them in accordance with yani the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهُ, yani whoever surrenders himself wholly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is a muhsin, does his deeds sincerely for the sake of Allah alone in accordance with the sunnah, فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ, then he will have his reward, and the رَبِّهِ, with his Lord, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِ, and there will be no fear upon him, وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor will he grieve. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيكُمْ, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَى بِهِ. That it is not in accordance with your wishful thinking, meaning Muslims. It is not as you just wish that you will enter Jannah, that you will earn the reward of Allah, that you will have a reward yani with Allah. It is not based on wishful thinking. وَلَا أَمَانِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, nor the wishful thinking of the people of the book. Rather, everyone will be called to bring their burhan. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَى بِهِ. Whoever does evil, he will be compensated for it. Yani he will be rewarded with what is due to him for his evil deed. Whether he is from the Ahl Kitab or whether he is from the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, It is not according to your wishful thinking, O Muslims, nor the wishful thinking of the Ahlul Kitab. Rather, whoever does evil will be, yani, punished for it. وَالْإِغْتِرَالُ بِالدَّعَاوِي وَالْمَظَاهِرِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ سَبَبٌ لِلْإِنْهِرَافِ وَطَرِيقٌ لِلْمُنْحَرِفِينَ. But being deluded and deceived and misled by baseless claims and by outward appearances of righteousness, إِنَّمَا هُوَ سَبَبٌ, this is the real cause of going astray. And this is the road or the path or the way of the people of deviation. Yani, being deceived and deluded by, yani, their desires. Those who claim to, yani, be the beloved of Allah, whether they are Christians or whether they are Jews or whether they are Muslims, who do not have the Burhan, the Iman, truthful Iman, sincere Iman, and righteous actions, which are the fruit of that Iman, which are incumbent to accompany that Iman. There is no true Iman without righteous deeds. Yani, this is the Burhan, and it doesn't matter if a person is a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim. Mere claim to righteousness is of no benefit with Allah. Rather, every person will be called to bring their proof, and that is, yani, Iman, sincere Iman, and righteous actions. So the Shaykh, he says, فَإِذَا عَلِمَ الْقَلْبِ أَنَّ الصِّدْقَ الدَّعْوَى وَأَنَّ الْقُرْبُ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ بِالْإِيمَانِ الصَّادِقِ وَالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ أَقْبَلَ عَلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرِ فَكَانَ هَذَا الْقَلْبُ سَلِيمًا صَالِحًا قَرِيبًا مِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَبَعِيدًا مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ. So when the heart comes to know that the truthfulness of the claim, of one's claim to Iman, and the nearness to Allah, really being near to Allah, yani being from the awliya of Allah, it is indeed, it is only by al-Iman as-Sadiq, having truthful Iman, and amal as-salih, and righteous deeds, which naturally result from that Iman. When a person comes to know this, أَقْبَلَ عَلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, then the person will draw near, and will be, yani, encouraged, and will be inclined, and will be energized, and motivated, yani, to this affair. Yani, will be motivated to develop sincere Iman, and to do righteous deeds. And in this case, this heart that has this realization and this knowledge, when they came to know this, this heart will be saliman, will be whole and sound, and salihan, will be righteous and pure, and qareeban min kulli khair, and near to every good, wa ba'idan an kulli shar, and far from every evil. And for the benefit of the ayat that the Shaykh mentions, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 111 and 112, we're going to just pause here for a moment and look at, yani, some of the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his Tafsir Al-Quran, Tafsir Al-Kareem Al-Rahman, concerning this ayat. He says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. They said, yani the Christians and Jews, that no one will enter the paradise except the one who is a Jew or a Christian. This is only their wishful thinking. But instead, Allah says to the Prophet, tell them, bring your proof if indeed you are truthful. Rather, only those who have surrendered their face, their self, totally to Allah while being a doer of good. These are the people who have their reward with their Lord, and no fear will be upon them, nor will they grieve. This means that the Jews said, no one will ever enter the Jannah except he is a Jew. And the Christians said, no one will ever enter the Jannah except he is a Christian. So they have judged for themselves that they alone will be the people that will enter the Jannah. And this is simply their wishful thinking that is غير مقبولة, not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless they bring a hujjah, a burhan. Unless they bring a proof of the truthfulness of what they say. And this is the same for every person who makes a claim. Any person who makes a claim to anything, they must bring a proof to support the validity of their claim. Otherwise, if a person is accepted just by claiming whatever they claim, then another person may claim, may come forward and claim just the opposite without having any proof as well. And there will be no difference between them. Each one can claim the same thing and neither has any proof. Therefore, the claim that has no proof is baseless and unacceptable. The burhan, yani the proof, is that which yes, أو يصدق الدعاوى أو يكذبها. Yani the burhan is that which proves the truthfulness of one's claim or proves the falsehood of one's claim. In this case, in reference to this particular matter that is under discussion, the burhan that proves a person's truthfulness of their claim to iman is yani that they manifest sincere iman in righteous actions. So as long as a person has no burhan, then we know that they are lying in the claim that they are making. Here, then in the next ayat, the Shaykh says, Shaykh Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, says, here after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the clearest proof that is a general proof for everyone, yani of the claim to iman. He said, it is not by your mere wishful thinking and your baseless claims, but rather whoever أَسْلَمَ وَجَهُ لِلَّهِ أَيْ أَخْلَصَ لِلَّهِ أَعْمَالُهُ, yani who does his deeds for the sake of Allah with sincerity, with ikhlas, and who turns his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهُ, yani the person who does his deeds with ikhlas and turns his heart to Allah alone. And along with his sincerity, he is muhsin, yani in his worship of his Rabb, yani he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the Sharia, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the people of Jannah alone. These are the only people that will be in Jannah. فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ, then this one will have his reward with his Lord. That is, he will enter the Jannah and all that it entails of the bounties and blessings and favors of Allah. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and they will have no fear nor will they grieve. Yani, meaning that they will achieve that which is desired. Yani, they will have no fear of losing out on that which is desired, the good things that are promised for the people of paradise. And they will not grieve, meaning they will be saved from that which they feared, yani of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it may also be understood from this that whoever is not so, yani whoever doesn't have sincerity in their deeds and doing their deeds in accordance with the Sharia, then such a person will be from the people of the hellfire, the people who will be destroyed in the hellfire. So this person will not be saved. No one will be saved, rather, except the people of Ikhlas lil Ma'abood. فَلَا نَجَاتْ إِلَّا لِأَهْلِ الْإِخْلَاصِ لِلْمَعْبُودِ وَالْمُتَابَعَ لِلْرَسُولِ. No one will be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the people who have sincerity for the one who is worshipped, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who have strict following of the one who was sent, that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last point that I want to make, the Shaykh says, yani from amongst those things that set the heart aright, that make the heart to be upright, to be righteous, to be good. وَيَصْلِحُ الْقَلْبُ بِالْقُرْآنِ, the heart is set aright, or is made upright, or is rectified by the Qur'an. بِأَنْ يَعْلَمْ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَنَّ مَنْ أَقْبَلَ عَلَى مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهِ وَتَرَكَ مَا قَدْ يُحَبُّ وَيُشْتَهَى مِنْ أَجْلِ اللَّهِ عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهِ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ. That from the things due to which we may rectify our hearts, we may mend and fix our broken hearts by means of the Qur'an, is that we know from the Qur'an that whoever goes forward being desirous of and seeking out what is loved by Allah and leaves off, abandons that which might be loved or desired, any other than what is loved by Allah, for the sake of Allah, whoever gives up these things, then Allah, عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ, then Allah will replace it and substitute that which one has given up for the sake of Allah with that which is better than it. And whoever becomes desirous of and seeks after that which is loved by Allah and abandons for the sake of Allah other things that one might love and that one might be desirous of but is not pleasing to Allah, whoever gives up those things for the sake of Allah, Allah would replace them with that which is better than it. Naam. So seeking what is pleasing to Allah and is loved by Allah and abandoning what we ourselves may be desirous of for the sake of Allah, then know that Allah will replace whatever we give up for His sake with that which is better than it. If a person gives it up for the sake of Allah. And there's a hadith with this meaning that the scholars said, even if the chain of narration has some weakness, yani the meaning of the hadith is correct, that whoever gives up something sincerely for the sake of Allah, Allah would replace it with that which is better than it. So the heart of the believer comes to know through the reading of the Quran that مَا تَرَكَ أَحَدٌ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ إِلَّا عَوَّدَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ, that no one gives up anything for the sake of Allah except that Allah will replace it with that which is better than it. So the fruit of this, or the consequence, or what this leads to, is صَلَاحًا فِي ذَلْكَ الْقَلْبِ. It leads to piety and righteousness and uprightness in that heart that comes to know that whoever, that no one gives up anything for the sake of Allah except that Allah will replace it with that which is better. And this leads the heart to يُقَدِّم مَحْبُوبَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَحْبُوبِ نَفْسِهِ, to give precedence and preference to what is loved by Allah over what is loved by our own nafs. This leads the heart to give preference to that which is loved by Allah over that which we ourselves might love, any contrary to what is loved by Allah. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ إِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ أَنَّ تَرَكَهُ لِهَذَا الْأَمْرَ سَيَكُونُ عَنْهُ عِوَدٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And the heart comes to know with certainty, عِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ, with certain knowledge, that whatever it gives up, يعني لهذا الأمر, for this reason, يعني for the sake of Allah, then it will be replaced by that which is better than it in the dunya and in the akhirah. The heart comes to know with certainty. Yani from reading the Quran, we come to know with certainty and it removes any doubt that whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah would replace it with that which is better than it in this world as well as in the hereafter. And then the Shaykh, he gives yani six different examples of that which is mentioned in the Quran and what is known from history. The Quran delivers or gives to us, conveys to us the history, these six cases and others besides them. The Shaykh mentions six cases of proofs that when we are reading the Quran, if we ponder and reflect upon these things, it will become clear to us that the people who gave up for the sake of Allah what might have been desirous to them or might have been beloved to them, but they gave it up for that which was more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah replaced that which they gave up with that which is better than it. The first case, أَلَا تَرَى مَا ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ الَّذِينَ حَجَرُوا أَوْطَانَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ وَأَحْبَابَهُمْ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Do you not see what Allah has mentioned concerning the first immigrants, al-muhajirin al-awwalin, yani the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the muhajirun, that migrated from Mecca to Medina. Those who left their land, and they left their wealth, and they left their loved ones for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were loving the place that they were living in, and they were loving their people whom they lived amongst, and they were loving their wealth that they possessed. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ تَرَكُوهَا, but they gave it all up. They abandoned it. And they حَاجِرُوا لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, and they migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِرَارًا بِدِينِهِمْ, fleeing for the sake of saving their deen. And some of these people left their land, some of them left their property, because they were not allowed to leave from Mecca with whatever they possessed. The pagans would only allow them to leave with their body, with what, yani their own self alone. Some of them even had to leave their families, not only their wealth and their property, Some of them even migrated alone without their families for the sake of Allah, in order to save their deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَوَّدَهُمُ اللَّهُ تُمَأْنِينَةً فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَثَبَاتًا عَلَى دِينِهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that which they left behind with tranquility and comfort in their hearts, peace of mind, and firmness upon their deen. حَتَّى قِيلَ لِأَحَدِهِمْ. So firm were they that it was said to one of them by one of the kings, yani one who had been taken captive by this king, أَتَتْرُكُ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَأُعْتِيكَ نِصْفَ مُلْكِ. Yani, would you be willing to give up the deen of Muhammad if I were to give you half of my kingdom? Yani, this person had fell captive to these people, and he was in the possession of the king, and the king said to him, أَتَتْرُكُ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ. Would you be willing to abandon the deen of Muhammad if I would give you half of my kingdom? فَقَالَ. Yani, these are the people that the shaykh is saying that they left their land, and they left their wealth, and they left their loved ones, fleeing for the sake of their deen, because their deen was what was most beloved to Allah, and it became more beloved to them. So they gave up everything for the sake of their deen. And this one who had been taken captive, he was offered yani half of the kingdom of a king who had taken him captive, who he was a slave to. Would you give up the deen of Muhammad if I gave you half of my kingdom? He said, ikhsa, yani, beat it, get away from me. Ya adu Allah, O enemy of Allah. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. لَوْ أَعْطَيْتَنِي مُلْكَكَ. If you were to give me the whole of your kingdom, وَمُلْكَ الْعَرَبْ وَمُلْكَ الْعَجَمْ, and the whole kingdom of the Arabs and the non-Arabs, وَمَا فِي الْعَرْضِ جَمِيعَهَا, and everything that was in the earth, مَا تَرَكْتُ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ طَرَفَتْ عَيْنٍ. I would not have given up the deen of Muhammad, not even for the blink of an eye. These were the people who gave up everything for the sake of Allah, for saving their deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced everything that they gave up with that which is better than it. Salahun fil qalb, yani righteousness, piety, uprightness of the heart, which produces certainty, yaqeen, of the fact that whoever gives precedence to what is loved by Allah over what they love themselves, then Allah will replace it with that which is better than it. فَأَوَّذَهُ تُمَأْنِينَةً وَإِسْتِقَامَةً وَسَلَابَةً فِي الدِّينِ. وَأَوَّذُهُ الرِّزْقَ وَاسِيَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْعِزَّ وَالتَّمْكِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He replaced what they gave up by giving them tuma'anina, yani tranquility, peace of mind, وَإِسْتِقَامَةً, and being upright and firm upon their deen, وَسَلَابَةً in their deen, and firmness in their deen. And Allah also replaced it with رِزْقَ وَاسِيَ, with plenty of provisions in the dunya, وَالْعِزْ وَالْتَمْكِينَ, and honor and control in the earth. And we saw how the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, after they left their land and their wealth and their property, then Allah established them in the earth and made them the rulers in the Arabian Peninsula and beyond the Arabian Peninsula. The second example that the Shaykh gives to show that whoever gives precedence to what is loved by Allah over what might be desirous to themselves, to their nafs or their desires, أَلَا تَرَى أَنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْخَلِيلِ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَعَلَى أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ. Do we not see that Ibrahim, the friend of Allah, al-Khalil, may the best of salat and salam be upon him, and be upon our Prophet, and be upon all of the Prophets of Allah. Do we not see, لَمَّا اَتَّزَلَ قَوْمَهُ وَأَبَاهُ وَمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوَّذَهُ اللَّهُ فَوَهَبَ لَهُ إِسْحَاقُ وَيَعْقُوبُ وَالذُّرِّيَّةَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Do we not see how Ibrahim al-Khalil, when he separated himself from his people, and separated himself from his father, and separated himself from all that they were calling upon or worshipping other than Allah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced all of that, and Wahaba gifted him with Ishaq and Ya'qub and righteous offspring. Yani Allah replaced him with sons and grandsons and offspring who were prophets and who were righteous. And the surah of Ibrahim is mentioned in many places in the Quran. From amongst them is in Surah to Ibrahim, the 14th surah and 39th ayah, where Allah mentions that he had given as a gift to Ibrahim Ismail or Ishaq and the righteous offspring. The third example that the Shaykh mentions concerning those who are examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives us in the Quran so that we will have certainty that whoever gives precedence or preference to what is loved by Allah over what might be desired or loved by the nafs, that Allah will replace that which they gave up for the sake of Allah with that which is better than it. And the story of Yusuf is given in many places in the Quran, in detailed in Surah to Yusuf, in the 12th surah. And particularly, yani what the Shaykh mentions here is in yani the 23rd and 24th ayats and that which follows. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam. لما ملك نفسه من الوقوع مع امرأة العزيز التي هيأت نفسها له وكانت ذات سلطان عليه وغلقت الأبواب وقالت حيت لك. يعني يوسف, when he controlled himself from falling into يعني sin with the wife of the Aziz, while she had prepared herself, yani beautified herself to seduce him, to do an evil act. وَكَانَتْ ذَاتَ سُلْطَانَ عَلَيْهِ, and she had power and authority over him. He was a servant or a slave in her household. وَغَلَّقَتْ الْأَبْوَابِ, and after she had beautified herself, she locked the doors. And she said to him, come on, come to me. لَمَّا مَلَكَ نَفْسَهُ مَعَ مَا يَظْهُرُ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ حَظْوَةٍ لَوْ فَعَلَ وَمَكَانَةٍ لَوْ فَعَلَ. But when Yusuf alayhi salam, yani took control of himself, in spite of yani what was being presented to him of the dunya, of prestige, if he would do what he was being called to do, and of a high station and status in the land, if he would do what he was being invited to do. وكانت الامرأة تغريه بجمالها, and she was inducing or enticing him or alluring him and tempting him with her beauty. وتغريه بسلطانها, and she was seducing him with her authority, her power as being the wife of the Aziz. وتغريه بأنها ستجعل له مكانة في الأرض لا يبلغها أحد من الناس. And she was seducing him, tempting him with the promise that she would give him a place in the land, yani that no one else had reached, yani of power and authority. She would give him a high place of authority in the land. لكنه عليه السلام صبر واعترف عن امرأة العزيز. But rather he was patient. He possessed and restrained and controlled himself, and he turned away from the wife of the Aziz. بل استحب السجن على أن يقع في هذا البلاء. Rather, he preferred, it was more beloved to him to be imprisoned than to fall into this trial or tribulation that he was being called to. فأوضه الله عز وجل بأن مكن له في الأرض يتبوى منها حيث يشاء ويستمتع بما شاء مما أحل الله. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani granted him in as a replacement for that which he gave up for the sake of Allah. Allah gave him control in the land so that he could go about in the land however and wherever he wished, and that he could enjoy yani whatever he wished from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal. And we know the story of Yusuf, as it came in the Quran, that yani after he had been enslaved, and he was invited to power and authority to engage in this act, then after some years in prison, finally, yani he was called forth by the king to interpret his dreams, and he was placed over yani the wealth of the land, to control it and to distribute it, and to enjoy, yani, as a person of power and authority in the land, whatever Allah had made lawful. The fourth example, and the time is pretty much finished for us, so we're going to try to quickly finish what remains here. The fourth example the Shaykh gave is Ahlul Kahf, the people of the cave. لَمَّا رَأَوْا فَسَادَ النَّاسِ. When they saw the corruption of the people, what their people were in, of kufr and corruption and wrongdoing. اَتَّزَلُوا النَّاسِ. And they separated themselves from the people and entered the cave. And they separated themselves from what the people were worshipping other than Allah. نَشْرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ رَحْمَتَهُ وَهِيَ لَهُمْ أَسْبَابَ الرَّاحَةِ وَجَعَلَهُمْ سَبَبًا لِهِدَايَةِ الضَّالِينَ فَجَعَلَ لَهُمْ ثَوَابُ أُولَٰئِكَ الْقَوْمِ. Yani the story of the people of the cave. When they saw the corruption of their people, they separated themselves from their people, from the society, and they separated themselves from what the people were worshipping other than Allah. So Allah unfolded or opened for them His rahmah. And Allah gave them the means of raha, rest and comfort. And Allah made them to be the cause of guidance of the people who have been misguided. And as a result of that, as a result of Allah making them the means of guidance of the people, then Allah made that their reward would be the reward of the people who were guided because of them. And we know that whoever guides to good, then they will have the reward of the person who follows their guidance, without that person's guidance being diminished in any way. They will have a full reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compensated the Ahlul Kahf, the people of the cave, by making them a means of guidance for the people of misguidance, and due to which they receive the reward of the people who were guided through them. The fifth example the Shaykh gives, and the Ahlul Kahf, the people of the cave, is mentioned in the 18th surah, ayats 9 through 26. And in the 21st surah, particularly in the 91st ayat, the story of, or the mention of, Maryam, the daughter of Imran. لَمَّا أَحْسَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا أَكْرَمَهَا اللَّهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي وَجَعَلَهَا وَابْنَهَا آيَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Here the Shaykh just briefly mentions that Maryam, the daughter of Imran, when she had يعني guarded her chastity, يعني protected herself from fahisha, from يعني any kind of corruption and immorality, Allah honored her, and Allah, through the angel Jibril, breathed into her garment life, so that she gave birth to a son, yani Isa alayhi salam, and that her and her son became an ayah, a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole of humanity. Yani a sign of Allah's qudra, His greatness and His power and His ability, yani to create by the word be, yani by her, to, for her to give birth to a child without having relations with a man. She and her son became a sign for the whole of humanity, and also a sign of the obligation of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The last example is the example of Sulaiman alayhi salam. لَمَّا أَلْحَتْهُ الْخَيْلْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ فَأَتْلَفَهَا لِأَنَّهَا أَلْحَتْهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That when Sulaiman alayhi salam, and this is mentioned in a number of places in the Quran, in Surah 38, ayahs 31 and to 33, and part of it is mentioned in also Surah 21, ayahs 81 and 82. When Sulaiman, when he was distracted by the beauty of the horses that were paraded in front of him, causing him to forget about the remembrance of Allah, to miss the time of the Asr prayer, then he slaughtered those horses because of them distracting him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning he gave up this great wealth of these beautiful horses. He gave it up because of it being a means of distraction from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَوَّدَهُ اللَّهُ بِأَعْظَمْ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. So Allah yani substituted or replaced those horses with that which is better than the horses. أَوَّدَهُ اللَّهُ بِالرِّيحِ أَلَّتِي تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ. Allah yani replaced it with His ability to have command and control over the winds. والشياطين كل بنان وغواس, and jinn from amongst the, يعني شياطين from amongst the jinn that were builders and divers that were subjected to his authority. The Shaykh closes this point by saying, so whoever gives up, من ترك هواه, whoever gives up his desires, وما تهواه نفسه عن الشهوات لربه, and whatever يعني his nafs is desirous of, from shahawat, from lower desires, whoever gives this up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عوضه الله من محبته, then Allah will replace it with love of him, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وعبادته, and worship of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وطمأنين قلبه, and tranquility, peace of mind, and إنابة إليه, and turning back, يعني the ability and the desire to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing good deeds, وَالتَّوْسِيَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, and giving him, يعني, plentiness of that which is in the world, plenty of that which is in the world, that which is above and beyond, far beyond, يعني, the enjoyments of everything in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace for that person, whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, he will replace it with, يعني, in that person's heart, tranquility, a love for Allah, the worship of Allah, and even provisions and pleasures in this world from that which is lawful greater than, yani, the things that they gave up for his sake. So whoever knows this, yani, when the heart comes to know this, that whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with that which is better than it, whoever learns this from the reading of the Quran, then this will cause in the heart a great degree of righteousness and uprightness and rectification and mending and restoration and reparation of whatever is in the heart that needs repair. These are some of the points, and the Shaykh follows with other points that in the next session, inshallah, we'll try to cover some of the remaining points of those things, and it would show how the heart, what are the means through which the heart, yani, mends or repairs or fix or rectifies the heart through the reading of the Quran. When we read the Quran, we should reflect upon these matters, so that the effect of the impact of the Quran will be greater in the reparation and rectification of our hearts. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.